Sky Sports Radio combined with Harness Racing New South Wales brings you On The Pace for your daily dose of news and tips.
27 to 11 and representing Harness Racing New South Wales this morning. Group 1 department here, Adam Hamilton, good morning.
Morning, Cozzy. Great to be on with you. We're going to have a Victorian guest and one of the best trainers in the business, Emma Stewart, will be joining us in just a moment. But we've got plenty to look forward to at Tabcorp Park Menangle on Saturday night, where the outstanding two-year-old and expensive Ego tries to protect an unbeaten record in the Aussie Gold New South Wales race there. Amanda Rando's spoken in depth about expensive Ego during the week. And, of course, it's always a great weekend when we've got the best pacer going round at the moment in Tiger Tara. He's in limbo a little bit. There's no big races on at the moment, but he's about to turn 9 years old, and his trainer Kevin Bizzuto likes to keep him in training at this time of year, and he's setting him for another trip over to New Zealand for the New Zealand Cup and a possible defence of his Inter-Dominion title. But we've got a lot to talk about with Emma Stewart, who once again made a really big Melton meeting her own playing field, along with training partner and life partner Clayton Tonkin, of course, at Melton last Saturday night. It was a tremendous Breeders' Crown night. Some talking points came out of it in regards the time of year the Breeders' Crown is on, but we can go into that with Emma and some of her stars from the night as she joins us now. G'day, Emma. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
Emma, let's talk horses first, and the satisfaction that comes at the end of a really, really long season for you guys with, well, largely long horses. Tam Major won the four-year-old final, young horses, I should say, but you took out both the biggest events, the two-year-old Colts and Geldings and the two-year-old Fillies pacing finals, and it's a big ask, isn't it, to get babies through a really long season and deep into August.
Yeah, it's really hard, especially when they're sort of board eligible as well, because you've got to have them up early. So Be Happy Mac did a terrific job in saying that my Gina wasn't in for the goal, but this is only her first preparation. So, the job she did was huge.
Yeah, and both of them, on at least on face value, you look to race as well as ever in what was their last start of the season last Saturday night. They were both absolutely dominant.
Yeah, they were. They were terrific. You know, that's one thing we did struggle with in the past. You know, we really struggled to have them right for Breeders' Crown, and you know, after a couple of failures we changed a few things, and we sort of, the last couple of the seasons, we sort of managed to be able to keep them up, which has been really good for us, because it's sort of, I think it's the main race for the year for the young ones, so to be able to have them up and firing at that time is really rewarding.
Be Happy Mac, there's just something about him. When we saw him early in the season, I think most people remarked, and I know you guys made it pretty clear from day one, you thought he was really special, but he looks like about a four-year-old's body and maturity, doesn't he, for a baby?
Yeah, he does. He's like a dead ringer for Yankee Rockstar when he was an older horse. So, you know, he's a beast. He always has been. You know, ever since he started racing, and we've always had a pretty high opinion of him. And, you know, he's probably one of the better two-year-olds we've had. You know, he just gets the job done. He relaxes. He's tough. He's fast. He's got everything he wants.
Yeah, and it takes not just a really talented two-year-old, but also a professional one to be able to burn like that early to get the front, relax, and then produce another stunning last 400 metres.
Yeah, that's right. And he wears absolutely no gear at all, and it's just a pleasure to train. So, you know, you can't really train those sort of manners into them, really. They've either got them or they haven't. You know, for him to be able to whip out and relax, you know, he's just everything you want in a horse.
And Majida had some nice draws, but I guess the real question with her, and your best place to answer it, is outstanding record, totally dominant on the weekend, was able to sort of lead and dictate. Is she absolutely top shelf, or is she just better than what she's been racing?
I think she's top shelf. You know, yes, she's had the draws to sort of suit her most of the way through, and some horses are lucky like that. But, you know, when she hasn't had the draws, she's sort of still been able to do the job. And, you know, I think she's top shelf. Like, in her defence, you know, her draws have been great, but this is her first prep. She came to us just broken in and with one prep, and, you know, we probably weren't going to race her, but she just kept getting better and better, and she sort of handled it easily. So, yeah, I definitely think she's top shelf.
Good to know. And Tam Major, well, I think he's one of the beautiful stories of this season, and he gives everyone hope because he was a really nice 2 and 3 year old, but he wasn't one of the best, was he? And he's found a way, and he's matured, and he's now a total star in his own age group.
Yeah, he is. I'm really pleased for the horse because he's a lovely horse, and I think he ran like 7 seconds to Poster Boy, you know, when he was younger, and he was always just that little bit behind. And you know, those horses have been injured, him and Ride High. So you know, it was his chance to step up, and to his credit, he did. And you know, we changed a few things with him, and he's a big, powerful sort of horse now. And you know, he's just been one of the more pleasing stories for us this year because Bruce is a great fella, and he always loved him. And you know, the horse tried his heart out, and for him to be able to step it up and turn into a potential Grand Circuit horse was really, really rewarding.
Just before we close out, and I want to talk more about where you're going with him, but in closing out on the Breeders' Crown success, a lot of debate around the time of year that it's run. You know, you mentioned you've had to change things and you've got the formula right. You're still peaking horses for Breeders' Crown time. But given the importance of the event, not just in Victoria, but to the Australasian industry, do we need to try and turn things on their head and find a slot during the peak time of year, the good weather time of year for this series?
Definitely. You know, yes, we've changed it around and we can still manage to be competitive at this time of year, but no one wants to go to the races on a wet winter's night, and the horses have had enough. And, you know, I think there needs to be some sort of slot for it to be available where there's a big carnival on, where people can come out and see the horses and they look terrific and everyone's happy and the sun's shining and all that sort of stuff. Just everything just seems better. And, you know, for this type of racing, like, that's our big money race for the 2 year olds. So I think it definitely needs to be slotted in with the better weather.
Yeah, it seems to be the chorus is growing strongly to have a review and find a new time slot for it. I imagine Tam Major, the way he's come, you'd be looking at a race like the Victoria Cup with him, but I suspect you've got others as well. I'm told Shadow Sax isn't too far away.
Yeah, Shadow Sax is about to trial, so we're really happy with him. He's on the way back. Storm Inside's about a week off trialing. We're really excited to have him back, so... we've got a fair few older horses that are making their comebacks, and we're really excited about that. And, you know, Tam Major will be headed to the same races as them, so it should be exciting for us.
And would that be sort of Kilmore Cups, Victoria Cups, and then whatever else is on?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Born to Rock and Roll will be heading towards them, and Rock and Roll Icon, Maritai, all those sort of horses. So hopefully we've got a strong hand in them.
Absolutely. Ride High, I'm a horse I always want to know about. He's a bit behind the others in his comeback.
Yeah, he is, but he's up and fast working in. He's big and strong and looks terrific. So we'll be sort of targeting the better races earlier in the new year.
Good stuff. And Poster Boy, we know he's been through a battle health-wise. How's he at?
Yeah, he's back. He's not 100%, but we're sort of working towards that minute. So he's back fast working, but he's just not 100% at the minute. So fingers crossed in the next couple of weeks we sort him out.
Good as gold. One last one for you. Centenario. Now, we know there's been a lot of excitement about this new $1 million pace up there in New South Wales. There's a lot of conditions to it, obviously, to protect the New South Wales industry. Now, he's favourite at the moment, but he's in your stable. And under the conditions, he's got to race 4 or 5 times in Sydney for a stable up there. Has there been any talks about planning a campaign for him around getting into this race?
There hasn't, but I know his favourite for it, which was surprising. So I actually haven't looked into it at all. So maybe it's something we do look into, but no, at this stage we haven't looked into it at all.
Yeah, I guess a $1 million race, you know, even though there's a lot of conditions relating it to New South Wales stables and things like that. I mean, if you've got the potentially the right horse and the owners are keen, you know, as part of a broader business, you need to look at these things, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've got the Storm Inside, who's got a low rating as well. So he's another horse that could potentially be eligible for that sort of race. So it's definitely something we're thinking about with Storm Inside.
Great stuff. Good to have you on board. Well done on another really, really special night for yourself, Clayton, and all of the hard-working team behind the scenes. Breeders' Crown night last Saturday night. Thanks for your time, Emma.
No worries at all. Thank you.
Emma Stewart there. She's the best in the business in partnership with Clayton Tonkin. And Cozzy, there's not much more we can add, but I mean, most people would have caught up with it, but a really surprising and big announcement in Victoria with yesterday with Harness Racing Victoria's CEO, David Martin, announcing his resignation, and not effective absolutely immediately, but pretty close to immediately. So interesting times down there in Victoria. David has made some really tough business decisions to try and benefit the sport. And, you know, it's fair to say that when you make tough decisions, you sort of polarise the industry participants, some of them. And I think it's probably divided over those that think he's done a great job and those that, you know, probably have some questions over the decisions he's made. But what you can't deny is financially he's leaving the sport in a better position than when he came into it, David Martin. So Luke Spano will be the acting CEO in lieu of a full-time decision replacement-wise.
Good on you, Adam. Good for the catch-up this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Terrific, Cozzy. Thank you.